Welcome to the first meeting of the newly reconstituted board for this board meeting for Monday, May 8th, 2017. Mrs. Ratcher, will you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Fairgreath? Here. Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Here.
Mr. Mannheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Ms. Weibel?
Here.
Mrs. Yule?
Here. Would you all rise and please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming. We're very excited to be here today. First item on our agenda is citizen comments. I see we have three citizen comments. Our secretary, could you read our statement? Thank you.
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. And please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you. Our first citizen comment today comes from Carrie Needham. Thank you. If you'd come up to the and then...
I think it's on, so it should be.
And then give us your address. Thank you.
My name is Carrie Needham. Thank you for your attention. I would just like to bring to the board's attention that I have started a petition online, which other parents here at Anderson and a few parents within the district are looking at and starting to sign on, asking you to take a look at starting dual language programs here at Anderson, as well as throughout our district. Now, I've already sent the contact for the petition to Dr. Raitzer, who's forwarded on to Dr. Roosh and Dr. Pearson, the incoming superintendents. Not to take up all the time, but just asking for you to take a look at the exceptional benefits that dual languages offer our students, especially at this age. The data and statistics out there are overwhelming as to how dual language classes can help our students learn in so many different aspects and to grow and foster new thoughts and concepts. So I was hoping that I could bring it to your attention, and if you have a chance to take a look at the petition online, I do have the website. I wrote it down really quick if I can give it to someone if you want it. And if you can take a look at that, and like I said, it outlines some of the research that I've already done on it and mentions some of the other districts locally within the area that already have dual language programs in place, like Elgin has quite an amazing dual language program in place for their elementary schools. And the benefits, like I say, far outweigh any of the cost and issues that can arise from it. So thank you for your time.
Delaney, if you want to, you'll take it. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. You'll give that to us then. Thank you. Okay, our second speaker is David Lippold.
My name is David Lippold, and I'm a citizen. I'm talking about Haynes, and I think it's an educational travesty to permanently close Haynes. At one time, there were movements to build a fourth middle school years ago when St. Charles was rapidly growing, but eventually the enrollment went down. Shelby was closed because enrollment went down. And then enrollment went up, and elementary schools were built. P.S., there is a new roller coaster named after the Cubs. Now, why not have three schools at optimum size? Now, how many of you have read articles about optimum middle school sizes, both children and building, for physical and psychological impact on students? Raise your hand. Uno. Okay. How many of you have read articles about the benefits of organized sports and other activities on middle school students? Please raise your hand. Okay. Trace. Good. Closing Haynes is going to impose a big impact on students who want to play sports. Instead of 2A teams or 3A teams, we're going to have two. That means 10A students are going to be B students. There's going to be students that are going to be shorted. So I feel that Haynes should remain open. The optimum size for a middle school is 750. And so if we had three schools at 750, that'd be fine. Now, I also want to mention that radon tests need a stagnant environment to be accurate. The testing being done now, this past week, will be inaccurate because the student movement in the schools is not going to give an accurate reading. And why didn't you do this on the weekend? There's fake news in closing Haynes to save millions of dollars because 500 students are going to be dumped into schools of 1,000 and will need support services, and that will cost money. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last speaker today is Ms. Bobby Rail, speaking on Thompson.
First of all, welcome new board members to your first regular meeting. On the cover of the booklet I think you have is a picture of a fake window. And I actually saw a similar window when I visited Thompson a year ago. And going around the building, I actually saw many murals on the wall, other windows painted on the walls. There were many rooms that didn't have windows. And so the architect has worked on the windows. Many of the interior rooms were in the old auditorium that is now cafeteria, and so that has been corrected. So when you look at the old part of the building, it looks pretty good. There's a few of places that don't have windows. If you look at page 2, please, there are 40 new classrooms in the new additions. 10 classrooms don't have windows, or 25%. And for regular classrooms, for science labs, 2 special ed rooms. 25% of the classrooms in new construction don't have windows. I would ask that you address that. In the renovated areas, I found 3, one science room that overlooks the cafeteria, one sewing room, and one general music room. Going on to the next page, please. You can see that in the rectangle, which is the major portion of new construction, these 5 rooms are in the center. 2 science rooms, 2 regular classrooms, 1 special ed room. There is a lot of hallway in the form of a figure 8 that surrounds these 5 rooms. It takes up a lot of square footage for team activity. Looks like there's some classroom instruction going on there as well. I know from visiting Redling that teachers often say they wish they had more space in the classroom and less in the hallways, the hub, if you will, of the pods. And there are 3 pods in this big rectangle, 15 classrooms, 5 of the 15, 33%, do not have windows. I ask that you address it. That should not be happening in new construction. I'm concerned the size of the science rooms. I sent you an article on that. and data, notice that the prep rooms are inside the science room. That takes up space. Notice that the washrooms are on the exterior walls next to the exits. Sometimes you don't want to put washrooms by the exits. They don't need windows, so why put them on an exit wall? Next page, please. Science room. This is a science room at 1,270 square feet. Notice that the prep room is inside of the science room. It shouldn't be. It would be correct size if it wasn't inside and adjacent to with a door. This room does not go up to the courtyard. The windows go through, I'm almost done. The windows go through the hallway. If you took out the prep room, you could have a bank of windows on the upper 4 feet of the wall, so you wouldn't have distraction in the classroom. I ask that you address that. And finally, my last question is, on the second floor, notice that the addition is the same, first floor and second, for new construction. I would ask someone to comment on the science rooms in the old section. What is the square footage? And also, if you look at the team approach, there obviously aren't enough rooms for team approach on the second floor. Where are the kids going for their regular classes? That was the question I had relative to the second floor. So square footage and windows in new construction, so important. Please address it.
Thank you, Mrs. Rao. That concludes citizen comments. Next item is the superintendent's report, which I believe involves Anderson School today.
It does. It's a pleasure always to go to schools, and especially a pleasure to come to Anderson at the near the end of the chance for kids. So it's a chance for kids to come up, and we're going to. I just want to point out one thing, though, on the misnomer. While the board did approve radon testing, they didn't do it. They do it this summer when the air is still. So when kids are not there, that's when they do radon testing. They didn't do it last week. So just so you know that. So no. So, but that's not when they were doing it. So they will do it this summer. So that's when it does, when the water. So, so let's, Mrs. Gonzalez Martinez is somewhere. There she is, hiding over there. So principal here. And so I think she's here going to introduce her team and what else is going on tonight. So.
Welcome, board, and special guests.
From the students and staff at Anderson Elementary,
we would like to present the Board of Education with this time capsule and plaque.
It holds writing and memories of our time here at Anderson Elementary.
The capsule will be placed in a wall. The capsule will be displayed in a wall.
That will be open 20 years from now, in the year 2036.
Our hope is that through our heart, perseverance, and ambition,
combined with our support of community, we will experience a kinder, more collaborative, and efficient future.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
That easy here. You can drop it down a little bit, Mr. Mustard. My voice is a little bit louder. So I kind of want to know what's going to be in the instrument that our staff member is holding so well over there. What are we putting in there? Anybody know? So here's one of my questions. Is there going to be a report card in there? No, because we opened one at Munn Hall, if you remember, and how many years was that? Do you remember?
Well, that was 50 years.
50 years. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It was the same report card we're using we're using at that time. It's changed now, but at the time it was the same report card 50 years later. So.
We have something that's not
50. All right, the Chicago Cubs. That's 104 years old, is that right? Yeah. What else?
Is it all locked up already?
Rubik's? What was that? Okay. What else? Anything else? Oh, good.
What do you think about Anderson, or what school will be like in
60
years, or what's wonderful about Anderson?
So how old will you guys be in that?
I'll be an old lady.
I'm not asking you. Okay, so how many of you think you will come back to help open it? All right. Good. Board members, you have questions?
I just wanted to say how nice it is to see little people and big people all doing something together tonight. Thank you. That was really fun to watch. And makes me miss teaching a lot. So thank you, because if you make an old lady miss teaching, that's pretty cool.
And I want to thank you for learning the song. It's different classes, different grades. Little something to put all that together. And I think this is the first time we've ever had a class sing to us.
I think so.
So that's pretty good. We've gone to every school now in our 2 or 3 year travel every other month. So this is the first time we've been sung to. We appreciate that. Thank you.
So, Patricia, where are you hiding at me? Okay, I need you to introduce all your staff members to me, to the board, so that we know who is here and. Well, that was my next question. Will all the parents of the children stand up? Great, thank you. Well, moms and dads, you can take boys and girls home if you wish. So this is your chance to kind of slide out, because I'm sure they all have homework that they need to get done, right? All right. Next, I'm going to go to, I believe we have some students who cannot remember how long ago it was that they were singing in front of a board or whatever at the elementary school. Our North High School mock trial team members, who are the Illinois state champions, are here. They're going to go to Hartford, Connecticut this Wednesday, I believe, for the national competition. And I know they've been kind of, I guess, scrimmaging. Is that the word that you would use? But Mrs. Roberts is here. Is Vanda Sample? She, wow, this has been an eventful time period. And, of course, our coach, right, so, Mrs. Robert, do you want to talk about your team and cool. Thank you.
Competing against
All right, so we need introductions, and for those that are seniors, we want to know what's happening next year. And then one final question for me is, how many of you wish to go on to law school afterwards? Maybe. Okay. Cool. Thank you. Board members, you have questions?
Actually, I will speak up. I don't have a question, but I'm so impressed with what you've done. My daughter did mock trial at East over 10 years ago now, and it was just the most fascinating thing for a parent to go watch the presentations, and it's really interesting that you have to know each side as well as the other, even though you find that maybe you favor one or the other, and to watch what was developing those arguments and finding those little loopholes and things like that, and the parents are back there cheering, quietly cheering, just like it's a sporting event, and we just thought it was a wonderful time in our lives, and the team had done really well, but to win the state is fantastic. We're so proud of you. I just think it's wonderful. Thank you for coming today also. That's really wonderful that you came to introduce yourselves to us. So good luck.
I do have a quick question. How many freshmen are there typically on the varsity team?
This year we had no freshmen. In past years we usually had one or two. Zach was the only one his freshman year. But our freshmen really compete a lot on the JV program. And there's, I think, three or four, I know you, Evan, and Anna. So three freshmen who, although they're not competing at nationals with us, stay after 4 out of 5 days of the school week, 2 hours after school, to help us work with the case. So it's really awesome that we have such a committed JV program. And I think we have one of the most well-traveled teams by far in the state competition. And I look back during the cross-examination, I see the courtroom filled with all the parents from our school. So I just think it's awesome. And we have a lot of parents actually making the journey out to Hartford. So our community has just been so supportive of this program. So it's just amazing. Well, we had a round robin with two other teams. So the teams that are representing Indiana and Wisconsin, they all met at NIU yesterday, actually. But yeah, we had a full round robin to prepare. We'll wake up call.
Well, it's always nice to get a chance to go against other teams from different states.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck. And you guys can slide out as well if you want to go home. So. Love to host you as national champs, too. That'd be great. All right. Next one, I'm going to turn over to Dr. Pearson for an introduction, I think, to the Board of Education. So.
Thank you very much for coming. That is wonderful. And now we can put the name, a face in the name, and our husband with the face. Thank you. No, that's fine.
And then that completes the superintendent's report, except for one final thing. And I'm not sure who brought up the autism awareness pins, but... Okay, great. So thank you. I wanted to let the board members know what's in front of you there. So thank you. That completes the superintendent's report.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Schloman. Next are the committee reports. I think we'll start with learning and teaching. Mr. McNally.
Okay, it's slightly long, so bear with me. We had recognition. We had five D303 CTE students won the state, and I'm going to say, I hope I say this correctly, Future Career and Community Leaders of America competition. From North, we had Isabel Frederick and Laura Robbins for fashion design, Alex Meisner for hospitality and tourism, and from East, Adam Strachan and Madison White for interior design. They'll be competing in the Nationals in Tennessee in early July. We also went to look at the, well, we were looking at the macroeconomics resources. The tests were up for AP macroeconomics. Tests were updated a couple years ago, 2012. And we selected, the committee selected from a resource list put out by the College Board. Probably the biggest item was, or one of the biggest items, a K-5 math resource, Eureka Math, which was formerly Engage New York for people who have seen that maybe coming home on some of the materials. We've been using some of their free side materials for years to supplement our current MyMath. Our MyMath was up for renewal, and the cost was roughly the same. I think it's a little bit more for the Eureka Math, but they found it to be one of the top resources, one of the two top resources by Ed Reports, and my own research showed it in the top three. So I'm kind of happy that we've chosen this, or we're going to vote on it anyway. Projected cost is $267,000 initially, with annual costs of $107,000 thereafter. And training is provided as part of this. The next item was Title I funds. We have to have a periodic plan submission. Our submission includes plan for school-wide waivers to allow for greater flexibility of use of funds. The current schools that are Title I schools are receiving funds are Anderson, Davis, Fox Ridge, Munn Hall, and Richmond. And the ESSA, the Every Student Succeeds Act, requires a new plan, and ours is intended to encompass all students. The waivers will not change the amount of money we're receiving, but it will will change potentially the way we can spend it. We should have completed waivers at this point. I'm assuming we do. I'm looking in the wrong direction. And we're looking in the timeline then beyond that is school-wide and district plans in June for the June board meeting. Application is available to view online, and then in July the application must be completed. The next item was Project Lead the Way. We're asking $59,485 for kits and $78,000 for iPads for kindergarten. These are just to kind of go along with our module for each, upgrading for each grade, kindergarten, first, second, and fourth. Third was not included, am I correct?
No.
Okay. All right. And third, I guess. All right, I missed that one. All right. And then Cengage Renewal, which is a database we use by our middle schools for reference, periodicals and the like, and that's $8,400. That's going to be, of course, on the consent agenda. So I think two of those items are on the action, are up for action. The rest are on consent agenda, or were just information. And I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. McNally. Next would be business services.
Yeah, thank you. We met on April 20th, and our items for discussion, first we discussed the D303 financial report, which is in your packet for information, as well as the Mid-Valley financial report, which is in your packet for information. Our next item was the Thompson Middle School design presentation. ATS&R came in and presented the board with a kind of a sneak peek of the designs and a little bit of the plans and the future of Thompson. So that's pretty exciting. And I believe that's on the school website for the public, anybody like to see it as well. Our next item pertains to the FF&E purchases for Redley Middle School, and there's a supplemental packet here in front of board members. And that is on for action tonight. Our next item was the annual renewal of our Scantron assessment service, which is consent, our amended Pushcoin contract, consent, setting the amount of the Treasury surety bond, which is something we do every year. It's based on our debt. Item H, we had actually five items in there, and I'll go through those. The first three items are consent, which is provide the renewal for Anywhere software, which is our content filtering, as well as the Palo Alto, which is some more content filtering, as well as our annual renewal of the PDMS software. The next two items are on action tonight, and that's the provide the data center refresh of servers and storage systems, and that's as well as updating the wireless network. These are all items that are within the IT budget and part of our technology five-year plan that we set up about a year ago or so. So both those items are on for action tonight. Our next item was our annual approval of existing safety hazards for the coming school year. Nothing's changed on those. That's on there for consent. Our next item, we reviewed some quotes, and the first was the middle school asbestos abatement for Thompson, which will be take place over the summer. That's on for consent. As well as the North High School window replacement, and that'll be on for consent as well. Our next item was the contract for Wasco Elementary's floor tile replacement, and that is on for action tonight. Our next two items pertain to transportation, and item M was the purchasing two facility vehicles from the state contract, as well as some used buses from Midwest Transit, which is our ongoing kind of replacement of our fleet as they get older. And then our last item that's on tonight, which is for action, is the Spectrum Senior Living Access Agreement, which is a lease to them. And our staff and our attorneys did some good vetting and set things up with the agreement to protect the district in the future if we were to put any kind of facility on that land. So that is on for action tonight. And then our other item that we discussed was our changing the date for the June business service meeting. And I believe it's the 27th,
yep.
correct? Okay. So that's June 27th, which is Tuesday, right? Yes. It's the day after my son's birthday. So, what's that?
That's already been changed in board book, right?
Correct. Correct, yeah. Yeah, we had to move it up from our normal Thursday because we were worried about.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't have to write a note here.
Nope, yep. That should be reflected. And that's it. We adjourned at 7:02. Thank you.
Very good. That's a lot. And speaking of a lot, next will be policy. Mrs. Linkemer.
I'm going to do this very succinctly, Mrs. Huell. We met on Monday, May 1st at 5 o'clock at the District Administration Center. 12 policies were discussed, small changes such as the number 5 being written into the word 5. There was one procedure that we also talked about that you will be seeing tonight. It has to do with discipline, with our discipline policy and code, and the district taking a stance at thinking that we need to intervene as quickly as we can and offer help, counsel, advice to students who are have been under the influence and have therefore been suspended rather than an out-of-school suspension. Mr. Moore, if I'm saying anything wrong, please do interrupt me. Instead of an out-of-school suspension, doing an in-school suspension so that we have people there who can help and aid and assist right away as opposed to just sending children away from the school building for a period of time. So that discipline procedure was one thing we discussed. Another thing that caught none of us by surprise that are sitting up here, but that all Board of Education members must file a statement of economic interest every year now, not just when elected, which was a little bit different. And then we no longer have jury duty here. We have court duty. And that was just an interesting thing to think about when people get called into court for whatever reason. We think about jury duty being something that we're always excused for. We know we need to go to, but court duty having much the same. So there will be 12 policies tonight that you will be seeing in the consent agenda plus one new procedure, Mrs. Huell. Our next meeting is scheduled for June 19th. But Mr. Moore just did, so I'm thinking there's not a lot of policies to go over on June 19th, so I'm sure it'll be rescheduled.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you very much. It was a lot to read and go over, so thank you. Community relations, I know we had a recent cancellation of a meeting. We haven't met since.
We didn't meet. I'm the co-chair, but the chair is, so I guess I am pro tem chair. Is that what we call it?
Yeah.
We did not meet. The last time we met was in March, and we were going to have a meeting, I think it was later in May, and we had no agenda for the meeting, so that one is tentatively canceled.
And so there's nothing scheduled till school year, starting after July.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. And does anyone have anything else that they attended or did? No. And I did attend the DPTO meeting in April, and April is typically the month that they take a field trip, which is nice. It was really good to go to Redling and East High School. They had a great program for us to see the things that are done with special education in our schools, everything from, you know, self-contained classrooms to team taught to, we saw a bunch of different things at different levels, and the group really liked it. We even took a bus over, school bus, but the only thing is that there really wasn't, they've had great attendance this year at DPTO, but not this particular meeting. However, once again, it was one of those kind of rainy days. I attributed to that. But I want to thank Laurel O'Brien and a few other people I can't think of right now. But thank you very much for putting it together, because there were a lot of pieces to it, and we timely went through things, and that was that. Thank you very much. That concludes committee reports. We'll go on to four action. May I have a motion to consider the K-5 math resource recommendation? Ms. Linkemer?
Second.
Mr. McNally? That's a second. And Mr. McNally talked about it very well a little bit ago. Is there anything else you want to say, or any questions or conversation, discussion?
No, I'm just, I know this is a resource that we've used in discussion. We've used kind of the free side, if that's the correct way to term it. I know that I've seen materials coming home with my kids. Everybody I've talked to in education, and I have a lot of contacts in education, as we know, everybody that I've talked to has spoken very highly of this program. So I'm happy to move to this from my math. I'm hoping it's everything I think it is, but I will be paying attention as well to gripe if it's not. So thank you.
Anyone else? Actually, along those lines, too, I was kind of alarmed and surprised to find out that my math wasn't all that we hoped it would be. But along the lines of hearing what happens, I really would like to, as a board member, I'd like to be updated, informed a year from now or a year and a quarter from now after we've gone through it for a year and see how it is. It's a big expense, and it looks good and everything, but I really hope we have that confidence in it a year from now. And as a board, as a learning and teaching, I hope we get a report.
That is something I intend to request, in fact. And I did look, I did a lot of research on this one myself. And as I say, I've not just anecdotal, but I went online and did a lot of research, and everything has indicated this is the real deal. So, and at some of the schools in the area that have used it have improved test scores. Causation, you know, correlation, causation. We don't know that, but we'll find out. So,
thank you. Anything else? Nothing? Mrs. Ratcher, will you take the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Second item is the project. Can I have a motion for a Project Lead the Way launch resource purchase?
So moved.
Ah. Well, I'll take Mr. Gaffney. Heard that as the motion, and Mr. McNally second. Thank you.
There we go.
You talked about that also. Is there any other discussion? I think it's probably down because of the expense.
I think this is kind of something that's just kind of we're expecting to do this because it's part of the program that we've adopted. So I think it's just normal expenses. Essentially.
Anything? Good. Great. Would you take the roll, please?
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. Next item is the FF&E. Could I have a motion for the FF&E purchases for middle schools? Well, for middle school.
Before you do that, I just want to point out you have an updated sheet on this. It doesn't change the numbers at all. It just clarifies it, so it should be at your table.
Can I have a motion? Mr. Manheim and Mr.
Second.
McNally will second that. So thank you, Dr. Sloman. What's different about this one?
The other one included some it, said fiscal year 17 and fiscal year 18, it was really Redling and Thompson. We really can't commit at this point unless we are going to take delivery on any of the prices. One of the vendors was willing to commit on the prices, but the other vendors were unsure. So unless we were going to take delivery of all of it, which we don't have storage space for, we're not doing that. So we just simplified this to say Redling. That's what you're voting on tonight is just the Redling. And below that is an administrative recommendation for that as well as to we accept those bids for the three lowest vendors.
Okay. Is there any other conversation? I just had a little question. It dawned on me that the low bids are two different vendors, and I just wanted to make sure that those were compatible tables.
Three different vendors.
Right, three different vendors. In particular, the two that have to do with the science tables that they don't have any of those little glitches that we know what's good. Okay.
Should be good.
Okay. Anything else? Mrs. Rich, will you take the roll, please?
Did we have a motion on that?
Did we? Manheim and you, actually.
Okay, wanted to make sure that we didn't want to jump in the gun.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. D, can I have a motion for the updates to the wireless network. Mr. Manheim.
I'll second.
Mr. McNally, thank you. I think we talked about that at Business Services.
And the approval of both of these, D and E, were not to exceed numbers. Those numbers have now been codified, and they are lower than the not to exceed numbers. So.
Good. Anything else? Mrs. Bratcher, will you take the roll, please?
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. E is, may I have a motion for the data center refresh for the servers and storage systems?
So
moved. Mr. Manheim is a motion. And Mr.
Might as well.
Nally is our second for that one. Anything on that? Nope. Good. Would you take the vote, please?
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Item F is, may I have a motion to approve the Spectrum Senior Living easement agreement for Silver Glen Road? Mr. Gaffney?
Second.
And Mr. Manheim is a second. Is there any discussion about that?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just checking on some things here. Unfortunately, I was not able to stay into the end of the business services meeting where this was discussed. I'm checking to make sure that this is an easement agreement, better known as a land lease, as opposed to a purchase of this piece of land. It says perpetual in the agreement. What exactly is the definition that was given to perpetual?
I don't know what the legal definition of perpetual, so it does not have a ending date in regards to that. So it would.
Can the school district end this at their pleasure, or does it have to be something that both sides agree to?
I'd have to look. Both sides have to agree to it, correct?
Unless they abandon the site for a period of more than 12 months.
We are not able to call this back at any point or say we want to go ahead and sell this with the remainder of the parcel.
No. So
$150,000, which is the amount given for the rights to access the property, goes over how many years? It's one one-time payment of $150,000?
Correct. So it's equivalent to the sale of 1 acre if you had sold it. That's about what the purchase price would be if you had sold the land. So we tried to make it the same.
Okay, thank you.
And truthfully, the reason that we didn't do it as a sale was that it would have had to go into a bid, and the process would have had to go through that for that bidding of that 1 acre. So this
and the price probably would have been higher than 150 if there had been a bidding process.
Probably not.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, if you know that the price for the land just south of that went for $95,000 an acre, so I don't think for 1 acre it would have gone more than that. Because it's actually area that's got a fair amount of water going through it.
I know. I've read it all, too, and I've been out there, and I've walked it, too. So I just wanted to be clear.
The one question I had, and I think we answered this at Business Services, but for ingress and egress, should we ever have need for use of that land, that would be off Silver Glen or Crane Road, is that?
Yeah, so both, potentially both. We have access to the thing that we wanted to make sure was is that giving access to this, to Spectrum, would not preclude us from accessing it from, what's the road? To Thornwood. That lines up with Thornwood. That was where we expected to have. And the answer from KDOT was that would not preclude us. And in addition to that, we still would have access off of Crane as well.
And we'd have access through the property that they're leasing should we need it?
We would have access for the property they're leasing, acre?
This acre. We would, in other words, that's not going to interfere in any way with any of our.
It will not interfere for us getting access. It actually clears up some things because if you – down at the bottom of our property, all along what would be this, what would be the southern edge of our property, all the way along, We were required to reserve property for access to the Dr. Tu's property, which would be on the far east side of our property. We would no longer be required to have that easement all the way across now, because that would be the only access that Dr. Tu's property would have had from Crane Road all the way going across. This actually clears that up, because now Dr. Tu's property will have access both from Crane Road through the other estates down below and through the area that we're giving this 1 acre. So it actually frees up a substantial amount of land all the way across to our, that we're no longer have to be in an easement.
Okay.
Just review for me about lights that would need to be at those two egress points. We can have a separate stoplight, as I read this.
Yeah, so we would still, if we were to develop that at some point, we would have to work with KDOT on putting a stoplight, the access to Thornwood there. I don't know what the
Thornwood Boulevard.
Is it Thornwood Boulevard? Okay, so that access, we would have to provide, work with KDOT to provide a light there. We always would have had been able to, but one of the things I was worried about, this will not be a light, this 1 acre site for, they'll have a right in, right out only, is my understanding. Yeah, it does not change us being able to get a light there.
It also addresses, too, some of the stormwater drainage from the depressional areas as well. So Spectrum's going to be fixing all that kind of, too. So.
Right.
Okay. Any other discussion? None heard? Mrs. Ratcher, would you take the roll, please?
Mrs. Farragut?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
No.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Weifel?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. Motion carries. Last action item is the award of the contract for the Wasco Elementary School floor tile replacement. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Manheim?
Sorry.
Mr. Gaffney. Thank you. Does anybody? Well, I'll start. I had just asked that this not be on the consent agenda because it's money that I would not want to spend. There are some tiles. They've been under a rug for years. If this is a building that we, I'm not saying anything whether there's been any conversation about, recent conversation about Wasco's viability, but if we did, it's just money I would rather not spend there, and if anything, spend that money on our new construction. It's modest. It's $23,000, but I still wouldn't do it if it were my house, so I'm going to be voting no. Anyone else?
No? The tiles themselves, are they cracked? Are they curled? Are they up? Are they missing? That is under this rug. What are we?
These are ones that we would, I guess I haven't sat down and looked at every tile at Wasco, and Mr. Barrett, I gave him the night off because he had an event with his students, his children. As far as I know, these are, normal replacement cycle for us. Could they go longer without replacing them? The answer to that is yes. Do they warrant replacement? The answer to that is yes. But they're not something that is not danger right now. It's anything like that.
There's no asbestos or anything like that. We don't have any concerns in that.
The only thing I would share is I did talk to Mr. Baird, knowing he wouldn't be here tonight. He said the tiles are something that have been on his radar for several years. He's kind of pushed that off. That they're in disrepair. He didn't specifically say whether they were broken or a tripping hazard, but he did say that they're a noticeable disrepair.
If I can just say something really quick. I think at this time, my opinion is that we don't know that the school is or is not closing, and if it needs repair, you don't look at a broken sink for a long time knowing that it's still broken and maybe I'll move, just saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're tiles that are under rugs, as far as I understand. So anyway, it's my personal thing about where to spend the money, what I would do. So I just asked that it be put in action. So if there's any other conversation.
Well, I guess the question is, you know, how long, if we think we can be put off, how long could it be put off?
I mean, the thing about tile is that you can, you know, I'm looking at the tile around here, and it's actually all pretty good tile, so I don't have a good example in regards to that. But you can have cracks in tile, you know, for a long period of time, and it working well as long as it doesn't provide a tripping hazard. It wouldn't be a tripping hazard, or we would have replaced it. So, in other words, if there was a point where we felt like it was danger, we would have already gone ahead as administration and replaced that without it. So it does provide, you know, it's warrants changing, but is it something that is a danger today? The answer to that is no. Is it, could it be a danger at some point in the future? The answer to that is yes, it could be, I suspect. Of course, any tile could it be that in that respect. So, we're a little bit at a, I think at a crossroads, because what Mrs. Huell is referring to, and you all know that, is that do we want to spend money on buildings that have potential to be closed in the future? We don't want to do that. At the same time, I don't know, as sitting here as an administration, that really is your call as a Board of Education as to what you want to do in regards to that. So, we as administration make our recommendations the same for every school, irrespective of whether or not we believe that at some point or another they'd be closed. That's the only way I know how to do
even
it.
Even if we're going to close it, I guess the other thought is, even if we're going to close it, it would probably, we would expect that someone would use it for something.
Correct.
And so we wouldn't want it to be in disrepair as we leased it. So,
in defense of Mr. Beard, I think that John does an excellent job with all 18 facilities, and I don't think John would have pushed something off for a couple of years and then brought it to us without some concern for the replacement. So we have hired qualified staff. I would put my faith in what Mr. Baird has to say to us, that if it needs replacing, I think it should be replaced. As far as what we're going to do with Wasco in the future, I don't think that's something we want to address tonight, and I don't think that it's been talked about since the cycle back a year ago. So as far as I'm concerned right now, Wasco is a working school, and it will continue to be a working school until the board takes it up as a separate issue. So my recommendation is we replace the tile.
Mm-hmm. And I concur with that. Mr. Baird, I think, does an excellent job of bringing us things as he sees fit, and these are one of those maintenance things. And, again, it's something that should be addressed.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Don't disagree with any of that. It's probably a good idea.
Mrs. Retch, will you take the roll, please?
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Faircreek?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
No, but the motion carries anyway. Thank you. The next item is the consent agenda, and it has, maybe I have a motion to approve the consent. Is there anything anyone would like pulled from the consent agenda? And I will take this moment to think that I hadn't thought it through before the second. New board members, would they really be approving the minutes and everything?
Yeah. That's fine that they go ahead and approve minutes, even though they weren't there. We understand that they were, you know, not there during those time periods, so there's no harm in that. If you wish to separate them out, if they're new board members wish to separate out any minutes in regards to that, feel free to do so as well. But it's not unusual, as an example, that we put those in consent agenda and you as a board don't separate them out because one board member missed a meeting or whatever in regards to that. So either way, you can do it either way, whichever you're most comfortable.
So, okay.
I make
that's
a motion
the easier
to accept
way.
The minutes.
Yes, Mr. Gaffney, and a second? For the consent agenda, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
And a second is Mrs. Linkemer. So it's consent agenda. Mrs. Ratcher, will you take the roll, please?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Faircreek?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. That concludes the voting for this meeting. We have the four information items, which are Freedom of Information requests, and then the financial reports for D303 in Mid-Valley. A Thompson Middle School architectural design update. Is there anything you want to present on that, or just note that it's there?
We continue to work forward in regards to we are at a point where the documents are going to hit the street May 22nd. Documents will hit the street for bidding purposes. We expect the bids to close June 20th. So bids will be back, and we'll do a pre-bid meeting June 7th, I think, or something like that. Yeah, 7th. So we will do a pre-bid walkthrough with bidders, and then we'll have other opportunities for bidders to come through. Mr. Lamp will be available to take them on tours and other things of the current facility so that they can go through at any time and make sure that they sharpen their pencil as much as they can. So we want to give them every opportunity they can to come in and sharpen their pencils. I know that there's been some suggestion tonight of changes that were made. That's not possible at this late date unless you wish to have a different start and end date for this project. We are at a point now where soon to issue documents, if we start changing walls around, as Mr. Mannheim knows, you change dramatically the time periods in which you're going to get things done. So, pardon? And it will cost more money. So, it's just, we're at that point where we're in the slot, so to speak, and we're moving on in regards to that. So that's where we're at.
Thank you. Actually, Dr. Schum, can I just hear from that again? The bids are going out on the 22nd, and they're May 22nd, and then the bids are coming in June 20th.
Yeah, so the May 22nd, the documents will be available and will available for pickup for contractors interested in bidding, and then those will in turn there'll be a June 7th date in which they vendors are will be expected to come and walk through and do a pre-bid with the architects and with Mr. Lamp, and then there'll be a June 22nd is when they'll actually the bids will be completed, and we will expect them
bid opening, right?
And we expect them. You will have a June. When is the
27th?
So we expect them to be at Business Services on June 27th, so that'll be an important one for all board members to be at to see where we're at in regards to the bidding process. I will say that I have been, along with the team, been massaging things substantially to try to hit our number. We are slightly over our number right now. We're at, I think, $300,000 or $400,000 over. We were able to get a little bit of flexibility from the ROE, which helped us to a tune of about $200,000 the other day. We're required to have a building, an area that's can withstand an F5 tornado that can accommodate all the students in one place. That's a new law that just passed in July. So that requirement essentially gets walls that are 24 inches thick. In order to make that all work. But in addition to that, it would require us to have restrooms inside that facility. And also have power generation inside that facility as well. The ROE is going to give us waiver on the generation and the restroom. Because if you know a tornado around here, tornadoes happen fairly quickly, and usually you shouldn't need a potty for a long period of time for people to be in there. And actually it was – so that those two alone, the generation, power generation, and the restroom facility inside the facility saved us about $200,000. That's an example of changes that we've made. Another example might be is that it's no longer a high school gym, so in the base bid will be – bleachers, new bleachers for the current gymnasium, but only on one side. We don't need to have two large bleachers from each side, which will actually open up more room for our physical education because they'll have more gym space and stuff like that. So those are kind of changes that we're making as we go along to try to make sure that we get down to a number that's realistic in the process. So, and we'll go through those with the board as we, you know, as we come back from the bidding process, but it is a dynamic process. It's not something that you can sit and bring back to the board on every change that we make and every nuance that we make. We've listened to the board. You've said you want LED lighting as a base bid, as an example. We're putting LED lighting in as a base bid. We've moved those things that the board has said they really want to make sure are in the base bid. We've moved those things in the base bid, and then other things as they come along and come up, like as I use the example of the bleachers as an example. So bleachers will be part of the base bid. Originally, we were thinking that we were going to make them an alternate. It doesn't make much sense to me that we're going to have to repaint the gym floor because they've chosen new colors. I actually think we have the colors, right?
I don't know that we're ready to
announce it. Not ready to announce it?
Okay. I have to check Mr. Moore.
Okay, you haven't done that. Okay.
New colors.
There are colors chosen. We'll soon do announce them. I don't know when we are ready to announce that. So but they're obviously going to be colors. They're going to be changed, and so we're going to have to repaint the floor and those kind of things in there. If we're going to have to do that stuff, we might as well do the bleachers at the same time. So that's part of the base bid as well. Other questions that you have for me?
I have one thing that I know that we were at the city council meeting. Did we come out with a self-satisfaction on this, or are we going to address this later? Or
on the land cash thing?
Yes.
Yeah, so the land cash was held at $240,000, and that the city has asked us to work with them on a new land cash ordinance going forward, but they did, for the purposes of this development, hold it at $240,000, which will ensure that we get about $400,000 out of that development coming back to the district. They did not treat the park district the same, but the school district was treated completely under the ordinance. So the park district, they made some exceptions for that. So we are working with them right now on, we're hoping to get some exceptions on some of the parking issues. There's some setbacks. I think they'll do that. The city is going to give us some allowances on some of the setbacks. The requirement is that we have 30 feet of setback from the edge of the road. That really pushes us back substantially on some of the parking that we were going to do. So we're working with them right now on that as well.
I had a brief conversation with the architect kind of in the middle of the business service. I was able to catch him on the way out. We had an issue with, there's windows inside. I had an initial concern about that, just simply with, the potential for distraction with kids but the other concern I have is, it came up when we discussed the lockdown drill at my school. And one of the things we're required to do is put the students where they are not visible from the hallway. I don't know if that's going to be possible with windows and I discussed the potential of integral blinds with him. I don't know if I discussed that with you or not. I can't recall if I mentioned it to you. But that was something that I wonder if we can find out what that might add to the cost.
Yeah, we agree on the idea of getting natural light wherever we can, and in order to get natural light into the site of those signs, you need to have space in order to, glass in order to do that. Secondly is that it's consistent with some of the other areas of the design where you have open spaces and visible to that. So we have not made changes. We've not put integral blinds in there. I will say that I think Dr. Pearson next year will be working with the police department on a kind of a different approach to security, which will be less of the lockdown approach, which is what the police are now endorsing, and more of the I think there's three words for it. Dr. Chapman, help me out. What? Pardon?
Run, hide, fight.
Run, hide, fight approach. So that will be less of a lockdown type approach that the police department is now endorsing. Previously, they've not endorsed that approach. And so more than likely, we will be switching to that approach, given as the endorsed by our police department, what they want to have happen to that. I don't want to digress into that discussion now necessarily, but it is something that I think will be coming towards this board in the future. So,
okay. Well, I still have to hide. Excuse me. Still have to hide. The windows might make that difficult. So I just have a concern there. I just wonder what it would cost. We also had the discussion about I'm obviously unhappy with the classroom size, but the other was the hot water. I had made a suggestion to him that potentially we could put larger basins along the back because we do have the hot water, and now the cost would just be the cost essentially of a larger sink and multiple spigots. So I'm hoping we can look at doing that.
Yeah, and I think we're still working on that part of it. We haven't completed that part of kind of the design area yet on the sinks, and I think we're going to be able to accommodate your request on that. But I share with anybody, I would love to have $85 million to do this project. I don't have $85 million. I got $50 million to do this project. So we are fortunate that we're paying cash for this and we're not impacting the taxpayer, and we're still accomplishing, I would say, 90% of what the board and the administration would like to do. But some of the classroom sizes are not as big as what we would like them to be. And square footage, as Mr. Mannheim will tell you, is what drives costs. And is the more square footage you add, the bigger, the more cost you're going to have. So it's, and you know that.
I mean, it's that way with every building I've been involved with. I know.
I know. I'm not telling you anything. So it's just one of those things that I wish.
My concern is that we're doing this and once it's done in perpetuity. And
correct.
So, if the numbers go down low enough, those class sizes are going to be adequate. But I'm not thrilled with those. I understand that that's a much larger logistical problem. But I think the windows and hot water are smaller issues that we could potentially address.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about windows. The windows are staying. Whether or not we put blinds inside of those or not, I think we can have that discussion with them. And the hot water issue on the back of the room, which is what you suggested in the sinks, the more than multiple sinks in the back of the room, I think is what you were suggesting back there.
Yeah.
You and I can talk a little bit afterward, but I think I got you right on that. We can talk about that. I'm not too worried about those kind of issues. I think we can work through those. It's any time I start moving walls around that slows us down substantially right now. And, we're just not going
to
be
capable. Are there, to that point, too, the other science classrooms that are kind of part of the current building, are they larger?
Yeah, so I sent that Mrs. Rail the other day just what those square footages are. I think they're around 1,200 square feet plus the about 190 square feet prep rooms in those other areas. So
that large room that's up, I know it's at the end of a hallway.
That's the sixth grade wing. Those two large rooms, the science rooms, obviously those are being torn down.
Yeah.
So those are going away. So the two largest science rooms that we have are in that sixth grade wing, I believe. Those are both going away. Those are very large rooms.
Yes,
I don't know
are.
How big they are, but they're very large. I think that's where we're at right now. Is we're around 1,200 square feet. Those are bigger than they are at Redling, but they're not as big as what I'd love to have them. So.
Now, and I'm going to ask one other dumb question, perhaps, but architecturally, and maybe Nick can kind of. If we did move those, is there the potential for moving those prep rooms at all?
Not sure where you'd move them to unless you want teachers to move outside of their or build outside their room to prep. So if you wanted to move you know, to outside the room to prep. I mean, we're getting down to, like, even things like, where are we going to put a copier? I got to find square foot. I want six copiers slash printers. Well, we're taking little nooks and hallways in order to put a copier in somewhere or printer in somewhere. So three, we want three on the first floor, three on the second floor. Those are the kind of things that we're down to. Even stuff like we're saving money as Matt knows, is that we're even saving money by we're not doing as many drops into the room because we're pretty much a Wi-Fi district now. And so having more drops go into the room is going to save a substantial amount of money, or less drops going into a room is going to save it. So we're going to put more drops in the ceiling for a more robust Wi-Fi system and less drops in the wall to try to save money in regards to that. So, if we wanted to move those prep rooms to somewhere else to make the room bigger, that means I got to steal, space from some other classroom somewhere or some space somewhere in order to do that. Then it feels a little bit like robbing Peter to pay Paul. So,
I think I'm just going to speak up since we've had some discussion, and for myself, and I don't know, I think I speak for the board, for many people on the board, but mostly for myself, is that I think I am really proud of what we are able to accomplish at this amount of money. Thompson has been an underwhelming building for a long time, and nothing has been accomplished there in a long time, and I'm pretty happy that the administration has come up with a plan that invigorates that building and improves it 1,000% and does it without raising taxes, and as we all like to say, next year, even lowering taxes. So for myself, rather than looking at minor details, I'm really looking at all the many comprehensive ways that this will improve Thompson Middle School. That said, but we're all looking forward to the bids and seeing what can happen after that.
I will point out that I'm a science teacher, so that's why I have concerns about this, the science
room. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't really mean it at all. So I just think in the end I'd like to come back to how great this is for Thompson.
And just point out, the two new board members know, they were with me this morning. I showed them a school that I built that was 1,800 square feet. That's what I would have preferred to have in the, classroom and part of it, lab on part of it. That's what I'd love to have. I just don't have that pleasure of being able to do that with the dollars that we have and still accomplish the rest of the goals as well.
Anyone else? Okay. Does anyone have new business? I don't have new business. However, I have two things that are coming up that I would just like to remind the board members about. Thursday, there's the Honors Night at St. Charles North this Thursday, and then next Wednesday at St. Charles East. It would be great to have 2-3 board members or more go. So if you would contact those schools if you can. And I was just sitting here thinking about it. Those are long nights. I will warn anybody that's never been there. They're long nights. But I do kind of wonder if there'd be the potential to come up along the side and catch it partway through the evening if you check in with the person that you're supposed to give the RSVP to be there as much as you can, but also recognizing that you have family, too, before that time. So anyway, just would really this Thursday and then next Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday is easy. So it's a great evening. Of course, graduation is wonderful, but when you go to the honors nights and you hear what these students have done over their careers, that's the really impressive evening. It's not walking across the stage. It's hearing all these things that they've done. So I would really encourage that. That said, do not have any reason to have closed session today. And so, may I have a motion to adjourn the meeting? So moved. Mr. Gaffney and Mr. Mannheim. This is Retro. Could you take the roll, please?
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Ms. Weifel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairfield?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Rickman?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.